Hello.
All right, Tommy Davidson, I apologize. I'm an idiot. I'm kind of newer to this station, and I haven't called out on the line too many times.
Okay, that's okay.
All right. Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed. Anyway, thank you so much. And you're also on the line with Vicky Six, who is...
Vicky Six.
She's our traffic gal, and she is an aspiring comedian. She's been... What have you been doing comedy for, about 2 years now?
No, not even a full year.
Not even a full year.
In September.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's got a lot of questions for you, too. But anyway, Tommy, what an absolute pleasure to... I know you're in town this weekend at the Hartford Funny Bone, two shows on Friday night, two shows on Saturday night. You have been, as I was telling Vicky earlier, you have been working continuously in television and movies since 1991. Like, not a lot of gaps in there for you. Yet you're still always the road. Do you consider yourself more of a comedian than anything else?
I do. I'm like, you know, when a police officer says I'm a police officer, a fireman says I'm a fireman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am a comedian. Are you there?
Yeah.
I'm a comedian in the sense of what it is. You know, it, whatever it says in the Webster's, I'm that.
<You know? laughs> Okay.
Yeah. You know, and for that young lady, Miss Six over there, you know, there's only one key in the door to the door opening, and that is just stay on stage and don't let anybody tell you that there's another answer, because there's not.
Mm-hmm.
Stay on stage.
When
I watched Carlos Mencia when he first got on stage, I watched Cedric the Entertainer when he first got on stage. I can go Dave Chappelle when he first got on stage. I watched everybody when they first got on stage. And the ones that stayed on stage and kept staying on stage, they stayed on stage and they got better and they got who they are. No shortcuts. You just have to be there and do it.
Every opportunity.
You'll get better.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll get better. But, you know, social media and trying this and then I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. You have to have a relationship with the audience that's built. It's like having a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something. You just have to work on that relationship. If you don't have it, you're not a comedian.
What are the advice
do you
have?
I'm not the gospel, but I'm telling you, ask Tom Brady what it's like to be a quarterback and what it took. Ask Michael Jordan what it's like to be a basketball player and what it took. It's the same thing.
Well, I feel like definitely, yeah. If I'm going to take anybody's advice, it's going to be yours.
And you're a chick. Yeah, you're a chick too.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
I don't know if you understand what he means by that. I mean, I think being a female, I think especially now, there's great opportunities for you. But really, you got to take every opportunity you can. Put yourself out there. That's how you're going to make it in the comedy world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. But with a female, she shows up to the comedy club and the female's got to go, I'm not here to give you opportunities. I'm here to do comedy. And a lot of guys can't see past it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's one of the things they have to deal with constantly.
I definitely have haters being a woman in comedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you do too. How do you deal with that and keep going?
I link up with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
The audience has nothing to do with the people that are around.
Right.
They're the people that are going to come see you, regardless of how they feel. They don't have feelings of animosity with you because they're laughing at the stuff you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I see you're so multifaceted, and that obviously is so cool and I'm sure helps in so many ways. But I'm sure you've also had people say to you you know, you could be a jack of all trades and not a master of one, or try to put you in a box. What do you say to the
right
people that try to do that to you?
Well, I mean, you know, they say, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too,
mm-hmm.
You know? You can, but you know, the oven, it's going to be a very messy kitchen, you know? So, you know, you can have your cake, just enjoy eating it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy.
Just make it, take your time and bake your cake and have it. take your time, start over for the next one, start over for the next one. But at the same time, it just doesn't work out so good until you become a really, really, really good chef.
You know, Tommy, you and I talked in 2016 or 2015, I think it was. It was right when Hannibal Buress, when his comedy bit kind of blew up with the allegations against Bill Cosby. And you happened to come into my radio station days after that broke. And I said to you, I'm like, oh, my God, can you believe this Hannibal Buress? And you were like, he's been saying that for years. And everybody in the industry knew about Bill Cosby, which was mind-blowing at the time.
Hey, man, everybody knows what George Washington did, too.
Fair.
You know what I mean? So, you know, hey, you know, what are we going to say? You know?
It was disappointing for fans, obviously, to learn that. But again, for you guys in the industry, and I think especially the black comedians in the industry, because Bill kind of held himself up as something kind of special and different, and was kind of chastising guys like Eddie Murphy for language and for the content that they were doing. Like, how hypocritically annoying was that?
Yeah, we're human. Yeah, being a human being is kind of difficult. You know what I mean? It's just kind of trying to understand, you know, understand this life and what's right and what's wrong. And I don't think that has a color.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's just one of those things. I mean, people would ask me, you know, Bill Cosby this. I'm like, well, he doesn't represent all black people. You know? And just like Andrew Jackson doesn't represent all white people. If he did, then white people would still be some Indian killing son of a bitches. That's so
true. Fair. You were headlining on the Off Color Comedy Tour with Keenan Ivory Wayans and his brother Sean Wayans and David Alan Greer, and obviously people are like, is there some kind of In Living Color reunion? Is that something you guys have talked about or are looking at all?
You know what? I don't know if it's going to happen. It can't happen until Keenan Ivory Wayans decides he's going to do it.
Yep.
Because he's the leader of the pack. But we all trust him. If he makes a call to all of us individually and says, I want to get you guys together, we'll all do it.
I love that.
Until that day, you know, we won't. We're waiting on the call.
I also saw that, speaking of, you were just on Instagram with Jim Carrey. He was on the show, too. Are you guys, like, still, like, really close?
Yeah.
That's so cool. What is your advice?
Like, we had a talk yesterday. It was really cool.
Oh, that's so awesome. How do you maintain these friendships as like an entertainer?
He's kind of exciting to know because he's so big, you know? But the good thing, the best thing about him is that he doesn't treat me any different than the day we met. I mean, we met way before In Living Color. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I get that kind of follow through, I feel just good. A lot of people that I know, when they got their huge success, they stopped communicating in the same way. Mm-hmm. As in, they stopped communicating with me, period.
That's so true. And like,
you know, so they say hi, you know, if they had to. You know what I mean? I'm like, you don't have to. You know what I mean? You don't have to. But I'm really disappointed in you because I actually thought you liked me.
Me?
No, not you. I'm talking about the people that get their success. Then once they got that, they start treating me differently. Mm-hmm. As in, I can barely get a hello out of them. And it really hurts and disappoints me because I thought they really liked me.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, when people are like only using you for what you can offer them.
They liked me.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, like, he was the greatest kid online. He was a little 11-year-old with an afro. He was so cool, and like, we're going to make it big. And I was like, I know you are. And I see him as he's growing. He finally turns into this huge thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm in Miami at a nightclub early because I'm getting my table together for friends. And he was there. And I was like, hey, man, you did it. And he turned to me and said, yeah, and went the other way.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you, like, navigate those kind of people?
I navigate them like me. Imperfect, man. Nobody is, you know? So I just go, hey, you know, I grew up in the 70s, so we were big on live and let live. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We were the kind of kids that grew up with, you know, the ink is black, the page is white. Together we learned to read and write, you know? Getting along with people was in style. And so I still have some of that in me. So I let people do what they want to do. And later on down the line, you know, if I see them in a car or something that's on fire, I mean, I'm not going to not pull them out. Mm-hmm. But if I see him get a DUI, I wish he would call me. You see what I mean?
Oh. Tommy, you're such a good dude. I swear to God.
So humble.
Hey, man. Just, you know, it came with time. Try by ass with him. Try by whipping my own ass.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know? So we do the best we can on this Thursday. You know what I mean?
That's all you can do, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I don't want to ask you a stupid comedy question, and I don't think your brand of comedy, you know, I talk to a lot of comedians, and so many of them talk about, you know, the PC age and how people are overly sensitive. I don't think you probably get a lot of that, because I don't think that's not really the brand of comedy that you're doing. But have you noticed a difference in crowds? Are people a little more sensitive, or is it just a matter of what content the comedians bring into the table?
Yeah. I think we're all subject to our society's eclipses, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 12 years or 10 years, I noticed that the way the comedy adjusted to that was there was this comedy where the result of the joke wasn't a laugh. The result was, ooh, ah. And it was called edgy, an edgy comic. So then comic became really edgy. But for me, edgy just means offensive. But I was never like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, certain individuals, certain comics got really, really popular by doing edgy stuff. Even my friends were saying, man, you should be a little more edgy. And I was like, I don't really like that stuff. You know, I'm in it for the joy and the laughter. And so finally there was a reaction to that from society, which were like, you're not going to be talking about us like that anymore. You're not going to be talking about this group and that group and that group anymore, because we're tired of you doing that. And that's why things have gone the other way now.
Yeah.
Because the people stood up and said, hey, and the group stood up and said, hey, we're human beings too. You can be busting us in the head in front of everybody like we're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, now we're getting back to being able to laugh with each other like back on Unliving Color.
Yeah.
For sure. And being such like a veteran, and with the times changing so much, how do you manage to stay so relevant and so likable to like such a broad audience?
I don't know. I just got to be back when I was like eight.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 8 years old, I was like this perfect little boy. You know, like I loved everyone, and I was my whole world was split when I was five, because I didn't know my family was white and I didn't know I was black. So when I experienced that separation, I really didn't internalize it yet. So I was just like, okay, well, I don't really care about that. I just want to be everyone's friend, you know? And then when I got 9, 10, you know, I turned black. And there was a limited scope there.
Mm-hmm.
And now at 60, I can be 8 again and just love everybody, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, you said you turned black. Does that are you like implying like that's when society almost like made you realize that things were different or that like people treated you differently around like 9 and 10?
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things where I said, "You know what? You are black."
Right.
You know, and what does that mean?
Mhm.
And all of the things that means and the whys to all that, you know, I had to work out and get clear. You know?
Yeah.
Me and my sister are basically twins, you know? She's a month older than me. But we're twins, but she's blonde. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if we were walking down the street and we said we're twins, people would go, get out of here. But we are. But society treats her different than me. And my mother told me that. My mother told me when we were in high school, you know, if you were late, you had to sign up for detention. They wouldn't sign her up, but they would sign me up. And so she went in, raised hell to the principal, said, hey, why are you treating my son like this and my daughter this way? And they said, we didn't know they were your kids. And she said, it doesn't matter. But she took me out of school that day, took me to a park bench, and looked me right in the eyes. And she said, if you want to make it in this world, you have to accept the fact that your sister can be late and you can't.
Wow. What a messed up world we live in. By the way, for anybody that doesn't know, Tommy wrote a personal memoir in February of 2020 called Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. And part of this is having been abandoned as an infant and then adopted and raised by a white family in Washington, D.C. I didn't know that about you until very recently. And boy, to hear you talk about it in terms of that with your sister, my goodness. You know, I have a good friend who is raising her daughter's biracial children, and, you know, she's been prepping up to have that conversation when they get old enough about how the world treats black men much differently than they do their white brethren. And like, what a tough conversation for a person to have, and how heartbreaking to have to look at a child and explain that to them. Through no fault of their own, Tommy. Jeez.
Yeah, but there's something. Yeah, but it's, you know, we all came together from different places, and we're having one country together, so, duh.
Right, and I feel like that definitely answered my question. Like, that's how you're so likable and relatable to everybody, because you really are everybody. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, and we all have that same potential, but there's one thing that we all contend with, and that is the isms, you know, the sexism, racism, you know, moneyism, greedism. There's all these isms that aren't going anywhere. They aren't going anywhere. It is up to us to evolve, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would be one of the black people in the world in this country that would advocate for well-meaning white Americans. And I get probably bashed up and whatever, but you can't tell me that John Brown wasn't a well-meaning white person, the
right.
abolitionist.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
You know, you can't tell me that my mom, you know, and white women like her aren't well-meaning.
Right.
You can't tell me that our President Kennedy wasn't well-meaning. You know, he actually took government policy and made legal changes and got killed over it. You know, there's thousands and thousands upon thousands, almost a million poor Irish guys laying in some fields down in the South because they were willing to give their life for the change in slavery.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's plenty of science teachers out there that don't treat their science students different because of their color. Or bus drivers, you know, or clerks, you know, or construction workers, or pilots in planes. You get where I'm going?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it sucks. It's just a part of society. I mean, it is what it is. I agree with you. I do think there are more good people in this world than there are bad people. I think the problem is the bad people are the ones that get all the attention.
Well, you know what? And we let them have it, too.
Yeah.
You know, we let them have it, but, you know, those are the kind of people that say, let's change history the way it's taught so that we can look better than everyone.
Right.
That's dangerous. You know, you never see anybody go, I'm going to change the curriculum in schools so that the Holocaust never happened. Like, who would want to be taught that?
Right.
Right. Well, I see some people trying to do that now.
You know?
Yeah.
Who would not want their child knowing that these people got put on freaking boxcars in February with no bathroom for like a month in the cold and didn't even know where they were going?
Yeah.
And lived to tell the tale. Mm. I'm not advocating for black victims. I'm advocating for human victims.
Right. And I feel like that's so important that, you know, it's so great that you have like such a platform, and
yeah.
I feel like they're making the right people famous, yeah. You know?
Anyone who wants to erase this country's history wants to do the same things that used to happen before it.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's so scary.
Nobody's hearing that noise, though. You know, it's Thursday. You know, we can go to Starbucks and have a donut or something. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're so right, Tommy. And, you know, it's funny, in addition to working on this station, I actually work for a talk station. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about this kind of stuff. And it's a generally conservative audience. And, you know, they would like to forget all that stuff. And they would prefer a curriculum that doesn't harp on that, or they get hung up on, you know, white guilt and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, I don't think anyone's looking for white guilt or looking for an acknowledgement of we did some crappy things before. We want to continue. And I think that's one of the other things about this country that I think gets a bad knock is there a more progressive country on the planet than the United States? I know we're not perfect and we still have racism and sexism and all sorts of isms, as you said, but is there another country on this planet that's constantly working towards improving those things?
No. And that's why I think that it's important for us to stay on the right path. Now, what happened in the Netherlands during the mid-1700s, all of the rich, all of the rich business people got into politics. So the people who ran the slave trade and got all, you know, rich as hell off of that, they all started running the government. And that was the beginning of the decline of that whole country. Because you can't be both at the same time. If you're after your own interests, then you can't have the interests of the people at the same time. And I think we're experiencing that.
Yeah, we definitely are. We definitely are.
You know, the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's just say the rich.
Right.
And then we can see it clearer. When we got someone said, I don't pay taxes because I'm smart, and no one addresses it. Hey, man, what do you expect? Why is this person exempt? Doesn't it pay for health care? Doesn't it pay for infrastructure? Doesn't it pay for the military? Doesn't it pay for our national security? Doesn't it pay for our education? Does it or doesn't it?
I'm looking.
Does it or doesn't it?
You there? Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you talk about this in your set. Do you have anything, you know, touching on the more recent issues coming up at the Funny Bone? Do you have any like almost controversial?
No, I don't really do it. I find a way to get this feeling across. I can actually extract justice out of an audience with laughter.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the best way to get a message across, for sure. Like, it's way less divisive, and I feel like that's just the best way to bring people together. And
yeah.
Wow.
Ask any woman. You put that dress on right, you put your makeup on right, you're not going to be invisible in the club.
Yeah. Right?
And that's something that has to be learned. That girl has to say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to learn how to give me some attention. So we have to apply consciousness. We have to apply it like makeup. We have to work on it until we get it. Hmm. Because we like the result.
Yeah. Again, two shows at the Hartford Funny Bone, two Friday night, two Saturday night. You can visit thetommydavidson.com. That is his official website. He's on Instagram at TheRealTommyCat and on X at TommyCat. Tommy, it's an absolute thrill to talk to you. You know, Ace Ventura 2, it might be my all-time favorite movie. I think I probably watched that movie more than any other movie, and I couldn't let you go without acknowledging your great work in that film.
I'm sorry for you, man. No, just kidding. Really, a genius, right? It's such a genius movie, man.
I recently showed that to my 8-year-old son, and he laughed his face off. And then I took him to, he had to go to an ice skating party, and they have like these, they're almost like walkers to help you sort of like get your feet under you. And he started like kicking his feet and falling, and his friends were in stitches. And I come skating over to him, and I looked at him and I go, are you doing Jim Carrey? His falls were so exaggerated, and he just looked at me and like winked. Like, I was exactly right. He was trying to get the reaction, and he knew by kicking his feet big and falling, he was going to get all the reaction he wanted to. The kids loved him, and you know who especially loved him? All the young ladies in his class.
Hey, man. It's a magic, you know? I'm experiencing like this huge love affair with my daughters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my 17-year-old is turning 18. Okay, and my 2-year-old turned 3, and they're both needing a different kind of attention.
Yep.
And I'm available.
That's great.
I'm available. You know?
Yeah.
It's a totally different type of attention, you know, but golly, look at that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that. I get to have that.
Yeah, it is incredible. I'll tell
you. That's really something. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, I got boys too. You know, and I got older daughters and older sons, but I'm just right in a place where I can really nurture them and get them ready and love them. It's just really cool.
I appreciate you sharing that. That is really cool. All right, Tommy Davidson, a pleasure as always. Again, two shows this Friday and Saturday night. Hartford Funny Bone. Go to hartford.funnybone.com. The great Tommy Davidson. Thank you so much for your time, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tommy.
And young lady, when you get famous, you better say hi to me.
Oh, I will. I'll never Justin Timberlake. That's so wrong.
if you're around, you come and you do 5 minutes. I'm going to see you.
Oh, really?
Why not?
Yeah, I'll come. That would be awesome. I would come. I was planning on coming to see you.
I talked all that trash and put my money where my mouth is.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. That's so amazing.
That's how you take advantage, Vicky. You get an offer and you best follow up on it.
Of course.
Just like Tommy said.
Wow. Thank you so much.
All right, Tommy, I really appreciate it, my man. This is great. Have an awesome time, and we'll see you this weekend at the Funny Bone.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Bye.